that the race was a fixed race. And that God, through Jesus, has put his signature on it. Yeah, and the devil can't do us no harm, because he has to go through Jesus to get to us. Have I got a witness here? Yeah, but I thank God for the joy. Yeah, James 1 and 2 said, rather, count it all joy. I tell him, for a long time I tried to figure out how you count to joy. Have I got a windmill? Yeah. The word count here is a controlled word. It's a word that wants us to understand, consider it's already done. Yeah, it was already done when Jesus went to Calvary. You do know that he died. He died one Friday. And he slept one Saturday. But every believer know it was early Sunday morning. My rocking in a weary land. My shelter in a time of storm. Yeah, my bread in a starving land. My joy, I send my joy. My joy in sorrow. My hope for tomorrow. He got up with all power in his hand. Have I got a windmill? And I thank God I can count the joy. Have I got a windmill? Yeah. One practical way you can count the joy. I said practical way. Well, count it all joy when you consider the oneness of God. And every time you think about what the Lord has done, your count level ought to go up. Can I get a win? Don't be sad about what you want to be done. But have joy in what he's already done. So let me tell you how to get your joy count level up. See, when you get your joy count level up, your blood pressure will come down. Have I got a windmill? Here we go. And you know how to count. When I think about the goodness of God, yeah, when I think about the joy of the Lord, and when I think about how good he's been to me, I can't do but help but count my blessing. Because the Lord, I said the Lord, the Lord sure been good to me. When I think about it, I just start counting. Jesus, that's one joy. Savior, that's two joy. Deliverer, that's three joys. I wish I had a witness here. Yes. Redeemer, that's four joy. Can you count the joy? Yes. I said yes. The word, that's five joy. Jehovah Shammah, that's six joy. Jehovah Shalom, that's seven joy. Jehovah Nisi, that's eight joy. Then you ought to count. Let me get a little closer. Bread on my table, that's nine joy. Yes. Money in my pocket, that's 10 joys. I can't stop counting. Hey, hey, joy, 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 hey, joy. can't stop counting, because the Lord's been good to me. Can't give up. I can't give up now. I can't give up now. Can't give up now. Now that I understand that whatever I go through, that I'm already an overcomer. And that everything that happens to me and everything that I go through has come to make me strong. It's come to help me and build a spiritual muscle to deal with what lies ahead. And when you understand that through faith, you'll understand also that whatever you've been through is probably worse than what you got to go through. But you keep letting the enemy intimidate you by telling you that you're not going to make it. Enemy keep trying to tell you God is not going to answer your prayer. Enemy keep trying to tell you he's not going to bring your child home. He's not going to bring your husband home. And God is keep telling you it's finished. I've already perfected. I've set your race. I've outlined your race. I know the strings of hair on your head. I know your days, your bonds are set, and your days are numbered. What are you worrying about? Don't you give up now. Don't give up until he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. I want all that life has for me. I want to live till I can't help. I want to stay so long, be in good health and strength and do the will of God until he'll have to come himself to get me. Late Dr. Codney said, I want to live as long as I can and die when I can't help it. I want to be here to do his will and to get everything God has for me. I don't let the enemy make me feel that something is too good for me. If he gave me his son, all the other stuff is mediocre. Don't you give up now. All you need is faith in God.
We at the Tree of Calvary Baptist Church hope that you were blessed by our pastor's message. Join us at our Sunday services. Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. and worship services at 10:15 a.m. Second Sunday, 6 p.m., the Lord's Supper is served, and midweek services are Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. Come and join us. God has a blessing with your name on it. If additional information is needed, you may phone the church at 318-941-2877. That's 318-941-2877. God bless you until we meet again at this same time and place. That would be the day when... You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana. I don't fret
because he'll see about me. Amen. Come on, let's thank God this morning. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we pray, oh God, that you would speak a word into our hearts, a word, oh God, that will remind us that you are God and that you're God all by yourself. We honor you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Good morning, saints of God. It's just a good day to be alive. Old folk used to say, I could have been dead sleeping in my grave. Oh, God, but he made my enemies behave Anybody glad about that this morning? Hallelujah. Bless his name. We certainly thank God one more time for those of you who are worshiping with us for the first time. And as always, we thank our radio audience. Amen. All the way in Alexandria and Monroe and even Shreveport. Amen. We thank God for those who watch us by way of the internet. I was told on just the other day that there are several who are incarcerated who hear us every Sunday. And one of the guards was saying that they were talking about they don't miss Pleasant Hill Baptist Church radio broadcast. And it's always wonderful, amen, when we receive letters from those who are incarcerated, because we want to remind them that even though they are behind bars, they don't have to be locked up in their minds and in their spirits. We thank God for all of you who listen to us each and every week. In the book of Luke, chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 18, I want to, for just a moment this morning, speak to your hearts from the subject, the famine is doing you a favor. The famine is doing you a favor. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 18, there you will find it, these words. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And then verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. The famine. Tell your neighbor, the famine can be a favor. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. All of us have experienced famines. Maybe not a famine of food or water, but other kinds of famines. Famines can be physical. Famines can be emotional. Famines can be financial or spiritual. And I'm pretty sure that all of us, at one time or another, have struggled with scarcity or dealt with deprivation of some kind. If you haven't, just keep on living. Because I'm here to tell you that no one gets out of this life without facing some kind of famine. No one gets out of here without having some seasons of suffering and moments of misery and periods of pain. All of us, at one time or another, will struggle with and go through a famine. Do I have any witnesses in the house who have lived long enough to testify that life can be great one day and then miserable the next? All of us will, at one time or another, either directly or indirectly, grapple with famine. I hate to be the one to tell you, but there is a famine on your agenda and on your horizon. It may be the threat of illness. It may be the encroachment of old age. It may be the slowing of your capacities. However it manifests itself, we will all experience some kind of famine. And most of us have concluded falsely that all famines are negative. After all, who gets excited about not having what you need or what you want? But I have come by this morning to submit to you that because God is sovereign, He is in control of both favor and famine. Anybody glad about it? He is in control of plenty and poverty. He's the God of your mountains and the God of your valleys. He's the God of your ups and he's the God of your downs. And as such, we realize that life in a real sense is not one-dimensional. As a matter of fact, you ought to have discovered by now that life is filled with ebbs and flows. It is full of ups and downs. Even with the things that I don't want, I don't like, yet God allows, even in my darkness, I have joy this morning because I have come to find out that even in darkness, God can cause joy to break through my despair. Amen. Even in my darkness, God will often surprise me with a fresh intrusion that makes my misery manageable, that makes my trials tolerable, that makes my pain purposeful, that makes my hell helpful, and my burdens bearable. Anybody know this God this morning? We've got to consider giving voice to the season of plea as well as the season of praise. What are you talking about, Pastor? Amen. You've got to reach a point in your spiritual walk with God, amen, that you realize that sometimes it is in the darkness that God speaks to us. Oh, I don't have any witnesses in here this morning. Somebody needs to know that, amen, even, amen, in darkness, sometimes blessings come. Sometimes only after the sun has gone down, just when you think it's over, that's often when your change will come. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel just because it's night. Somebody said weeping may endure for a night, but I believe I got two or three folk in here who have found out that joy will come in the morning. Sometimes when it looks like defeat, he'll show up with deliverance. When you think it's over and done, God comes in and writes a new chapter in your life and changes the whole story. Just when you have given in to death, gotten comfortable with the grave, he'll call your name and say, come forth. When hell breaks loose, heaven shows up. When storm clouds gather, a rainbow is close behind. Because there's always divinity in darkness. Famine. Are part of life. Trouble. Trials. I know this is not popular preaching. I know that, amen, you'd rather hear about how to get prosperity and how to get the blessings and all of that, but if you are not aware of the fact that in this life some rain is going to fall, if you're not aware of the fact that you can be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, come to church on Sunday, prayer meeting on Wednesday, Bible study, you can give your tithes and offerings and all of that, but Jesus said, man that is born of a woman, Job said it, amen. Job said, man that is born of a woman has but a few days, and guess what? They are full of trouble. So famines are part of life. And since I'm on the mic, let me be the one to tell you again that God is, amen, as much in famine as he is in favor. I think I need to tell you that God is going to prosper you despite what you're going through. That's a word for somebody this morning. See, because you need to understand that famine can be fruitful. Amen. Famine can bring some stuff out of you like nothing else can. Let me testify. Famine is making me go back to school. Famine is causing me to finally do something with the business ideas that God deposited in my spirit, but I've just been sitting on it. Famine is making me reevaluate my priorities. Famine is causing me to X out the extraneous. Famine is causing me to consider what's real and relevant. Let me give it to you this way. Trouble is transitional. Tell your neighbor, trouble is transitional. Amen. You may not realize it, but it's taking you somewhere that you couldn't have gone without it. That's why James, the brother of Jesus, said in James 1 and 2, he said, count it all joy. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Now you may not want to go through it, but just remember that God can prosper you in it. I was reading last week how on December 29th of 1987, a Soviet cosmonaut touched down on Earth after having spent some 326 days in orbit. The astronauts were in good health, but that hadn't always been the case because on previous trips, amen, as a matter of fact, 5 years before this time, one of the cosmonauts' spaceships touched down after being in space for 211 days. And the story said that when they landed, when they got out of the spacecraft, they were suffering from dizziness. They were suffering with heart palpitations. They couldn't walk for a week. And after 30 days, they were still undergoing therapy for atrophied muscles. Do you know why? Because at 0 degrees gravity, the muscles of the body waste away because there is no resistance. So this is what they did. They prescribed vigorous exercises. They made a running suit that resisted every move they made, forcing them to exert the strength they already had because the resistance was the key to their health. Oh, Pastor, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Y'all know we long for days without difficulties. We pray for time without trauma or trouble. We pray for weeks without worry. But the truth is this, that actually the easier our lives are, the weaker we become. Do I have a witness this morning? And God knows that in order for us to grow, there has to be some resistance. There have to be some trials. There have to be some tribulations. There have to be some, come on, you wouldn't pray like you pray if you've never been through nothing. You wouldn't, amen, praise him like you praise him if you never had pains and troubles and children problems and marital problems. You wouldn't even be here on this Sunday morning if you've never been through anything. But is there anybody here who can say that after all that I've been through, it wasn't easy, it was rough sometimes, but when I look back over my life, I realize that he's worthy to be praised. God can use disadvantage to our advantage. He can turn deprivation into motivation. Famine can do you a favor. Look. What's the testimony of the text? That's really, y'all, the saga of this son. He left home following an illusion. He demanded, the Bible says, to receive an inheritance even though his daddy was still alive. He wanted it now. What would have been his later? Because he didn't have the discipline to wait. And sometimes heaven holds what would be ours because we're not mature enough. We're not ready, amen, to receive the blessing right now. And though probably wounded by his demand, his daddy gave it to him. His father probably had to liquidate his land and livestock in order to give this boy 1/3 of his estate. But he handed it over to him. Because the father understood that nothing, amen, he said, could have dissuaded this boy from what he wanted. He had to go through. Tell your neighbor, he had to go through what he was going to. I think this is a good place to park and tell you that you need to be careful what you ask for. Because sometimes God knows that what we ask for, we can't handle. But when we persist and demand, God will at times give it to us, because sometimes the only way to educate us is to let us go through what we're headed to. Because we refuse to learn any other way. So sometimes God will let you have that relationship, knowing it's going to break your heart. He'll let you have, amen, that house, even though he knows you don't have the financial discipline to keep it. He'll let you get the job knowing you don't have the work ethic to hold on to it. And he does it to teach us how to trust him. He does it to teach us how to wait on him. Y'all, do you understand that God is more interested in developing us than delighting us? You need to understand. He's more interested in constructing our character than he is in creating our comfort. And God knows that nothing grows us like some pain. Nothing grows us like some trouble. Nothing gets us off our, like some discomfort. Nothing, amen, motivates us. There's a story of Abraham Lincoln. He was plowing in the field one day, and I know you've probably heard the story before, but he was plowing in the field one day. He had an old horse. The horse was so old, his back was, had that deep curve in it, swayed in, amen. And the horse normally moves just so slow. But this one day, Abraham Lincoln was plowing in the field, and that horse was boogieing. He was getting up. That horse was, amen. He was pulling that plow and doing what needed to be done in a way that Abraham Lincoln had never really seen before. But a gentleman was standing on the side. And he ran over and he said, Abe, hold on a minute. And there was a horse fly on that horse. And the man knocked that horse fly off of the horse. And you know what happened, don't you? That horse slowed down. And Abraham Lincoln said, you didn't help the horse, you hurt the horse. Because every now and then we need a little pain. Every now and then we need a little trouble to get us from where we are to where God wants us to be. And I think I need to tell you that it's not just the prodigal son. Can I testify?
Yes, sir.
There have been times in my life that God has loved me enough to let me fall. Because at times in my past, I wasn't ready for what I asked him for. But because I wasn't willing to wait, he let me have it. And I had to learn the hard way that everything that glitters ain't gold. I had to learn the hard way that everything shiny ain't silver. I had to learn the hard way that everybody smiling in my face is not my friend. I had to learn that every goodbye doesn't mean they're gone. And what feels good to you isn't always good for you. Is there anybody else in this house that has had to learn the hard way? God has at times let me fall so that I could get back up again with the determination to wait on him. The son in this saga, look at him. He left home. He headed for a place that the Bible describes only as the far country. And I love that about the Bible, because whenever it doesn't have specificity, whenever it doesn't give a particular or a specific name to something, you can put you in there. You can put where you're headed in there. You can put where you're going in there. But the story says that as long as the money was flowing, brother man was fine. But when the money got funny, when the money was depleted, his friends disappeared, everything was all right until a famine arose. And that's where I've been trying to get to. That when the famine arose, trouble took him someplace. When the famine arose, the famine did him a favor. Watch it. It focused him. Amen. That wouldn't have happened otherwise. A famine arose, and I want to suggest that sometimes it is the will of God for us to go through hard times and strenuous situations. Sometimes when your family acts funny and your friends are fickle, your finances are fractured, your future is fuzzy, we don't realize it then, but if you process it right, you'll realize that the famine is doing you a favor. Trying to help somebody today. I'm trying to help somebody that's been hating. Amen. You've been coming in here just because, amen, you're in a famine. You've been hating on the other folk who've been standing up giving God praise, who've been clapping their hands, who've been saying thank you. And you've been sitting there with your lips poked out. Amen. Look like you've been sucking on sour lemons. Won't say amen. Won't say nothing. Not realizing that what you're looking at, thinking that just because other folk have money or just because other folk are getting more possessions, that they are more blessed than you. You may not realize it, but I've come by to tell you today that in your famine, in your pain, in your trouble, in your tribulation, you can still give him praise, because God is setting you up